Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
My name is Mike Stauffer. They've invited me today to speak, to give an evangelistic message, and it occurred to me, whenever you speak, I know where I work at, the first question and the first consideration you want to take in is, who's my audience? Well, normally, when I share the gospel, it's usually among people that have never heard it before. And today, I don't know who's here who has never heard the whole gospel before, but there's a lot of people who have. And I felt like God really wanted me to say this. This message is for you too. If you honor it and you pay attention to it like it's the first time you heard it, God told me I believe there's going to be spontaneous healings. Because the gospel is confirmed by signs and wonders. So please don't check out. Please don't think, okay, he's given his message, then we'll get back to teaching because I've been a Christian 20 years. Big mistake. And I also felt, I said, God, how do you want me to deliver it? There's two audiences. And I prayed deeply about it, and I felt like he said, you preach it like it's the first time anybody's heard it, and it's the last time anybody will hear it. So I'm going to right now just kind of go like this. And as far as I'm concerned, none of you have heard it before. And I'm going to take the rifle off safe, and I'm letting it go. I'm not going to hold back. There's a few different ways that we can share our faith, and I want to explain that and then tell you why I'm explaining it and tell you how I'm going to do it today. The first way that the gospel can be shared, one way is through what they call apologetics, and that's where somebody uses logic and evidence combined with scripture. And if you've ever seen a gentleman named Ravi Zacharias on TV, that's kind of the way he shares the gospel. The second way is relationally. That's revealing the gospel through ongoing relationships. A great example of that is Alpha. Incrementally, that's sharing the gospel through small pieces over time. I had somebody I worked with at my prior job that it took 7 years of sharing about a little bit every year. And they finally came up to me and said, it all makes sense. It was one snippet, little bit at a time. We have divine appointments. Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch. And of course, where Paul met Jesus and was blinded and everything happened at once. We also have preaching the gospel all at once. So if you think of Stephen in the book of Acts, where he was stoned, and before he was stoned, he laid out the entire gospel from beginning to end at one time. None of these methods is better than the other. None of them is inferior to the other. Everybody who moves in any of these should encourage the other people and never look down on the way God uses them. So today, I'm using it the way God typically uses me, and I'm going to share the entire story. All of these methods are used to explain and tell God's story and plan for humanity. I'm going to be basing everything I say on the Word of God. These aren't my ideas. These aren't things that I'm going to try to hammer you over and influence you and talk you into. The Bible says the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the heart. I always tell people when I'm sharing with them, I say, you know what? If you allow me to share, I'm going to talk calmly, and I'm just going to share scripture, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. God's going to bring conviction in your heart. And they kind of get a look like, oh, yeah, I'm telling you, if you open up, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God. He'll confirm the truth of it. So it's not my job. If you're here today and you don't understand this thing about a relationship with God, it's not my job to try to talk you into something. I'm simply sharing what the Bible says. It's my authoritative foundation for everything I'm going to share. The other thing is I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to confirm this. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. There's three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to take the Word of God, which is alive and active, and apply it to your heart and situation uniquely where you're at. If you're here today, you may be drawn because you're broken and you're going through a sad situation. You may be under the conviction of sin. There may be myriads of ways and situations that a person can find themselves in. But the Holy Spirit is a master at taking the Word of God and just making it make sense to you. The title for today's message is From Here to Eternity. I plagiarized that. There was a movie by that name, so I hope I don't get in trouble. The Bible says eternity is stamped in our hearts. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. He stamps it. He has stamped every human heart with eternity. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And these are my thoughts. The idea of eternity, of a permanent, ongoing life of some type after our lives here on earth, is shared and thought about and explored by every civilization since the beginning of time. This is no accident, for God has placed eternity in our very hearts. Even before I was a Christian, the one thing I can say is, from the earliest days of my youth, I always had a sense that there was something more than this life. And even if you talk to people who don't call Jesus Christ Lord, they'll talk about the afterlife. You know, every time somebody dies, you hear the expression, well, they're in a better place. Which is interesting, because for an atheist to say that is kind of, well, what do you mean? You think there is no other place. But everybody says that. And it's because it's ingrained in our DNA. We were meant to ponder and think about eternity. God put it there for a reason. So let's start at the beginning. The Bible says, in the beginning, you, O Lord, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And in Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. This can only be grasped and accepted by an act of faith. Think about it. For somebody to be able to believe in the Creator, an intelligent designer behind this creation, there's no book, there's no equation, there's no speech, there's nothing that can cause somebody to grasp that and digest it and accept it. It's a gift of God. The Bible says that the wind, which represents the Holy Spirit, comes and goes and blows wherever it pleases. Have you ever been outside on an autumn day or a spring day? And you're sitting outside, and it's like 75, and it's picture perfect. And all of a sudden, you begin to see the grass kind of, and you hear a wind, and then it's gone. You can't see it. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going, but you know that something was there. Well, today, the Holy Spirit, He's blowing right now. We don't know where He's going to go, but right now, He's here. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what is visible. So it's by faith that we can understand that. And that's not my job to help you understand that. Thank God. The Holy Spirit is doing that. In fact, I have absolute faith He's doing it right now. There's no doubt in my mind because I've seen it hundreds of times. So I believe, God, with all my heart and soul, that You're doing that right now. So what was God's original intent for humanity? Let's talk a little bit about what His original plan was. And then we'll get into possibly what went wrong and where we go. But right now, I want to focus on what God's original intention for humanity was. We were created to know our God. These are my words. We were designed to function and enjoy life only in submission to Him and in recognition that He is God and we are His people. His every desire and intent has always been one of love and a desire to share His life with us. His every desire and intent has always been one of love. That's really important, because in about 15 minutes, I'm going to talk about something that if you don't understand that His intention is love, you probably want to run away. But I'm going to share it. So it's important to know what God's original intent was. His original intent is to have a relationship with Him, just like a father with their son. That's God's plan. Who is God? What's His nature? What's He like? In Psalm 145, verse 8, the Bible says that God is merciful. He is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and rich in love. He's gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, and he's rich in love. God is holy. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, it's written about the angels. Right now, there's angels in heaven crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Holy is different than good. You can be good. You can be a law-abiding person. You can have high moral character. You can be decent. You can be polite. You can be correct. You can be helpful. You can be just awesome. But you can't be holy. There's a big difference. 1 John verse 1 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." But about our hearts, the Bible says, our hearts are deceptively wicked. Those are hard words. That's what it says. The human heart is deceptively wicked, and its every intention is evil, only all the time. And you might think, yeah, but I'm good with my kids, and I go on picnics, and I help with the PTA, and all. And that's good. That's good moral behavior that is to be applauded. But that's different than holy. God is holy. God isn't holy because of what he does. He's holy because of what he is. He is holy. There's no darkness in him. And day and night, they never stop saying. Not ever. Okay. So we have a good God. We have a merciful God, a compassionate God, whose intention was a relationship with us, to walk with us, for us to relate to him, to know him. Well, what went wrong? All you have to do is pick up the paper. All you have to do is watch TV. You'd be out of your mind to say that this world is in good shape right now, that this world is a place of peace and love all the time. It's not. I don't have to convince you of that. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about what went wrong. You can have your own thoughts about it. If you're an academic from Lehigh, you can have high critical thought about it. There's many ways to think about it. I'm going to share with you what the Bible says. And again, the Holy Spirit will make it known to you. The Word of God is living and active. So what went wrong? Well, the Bible says mankind as a whole is turned away from its Creator. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, "All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own." I really like that concept of a path. Have you ever been out in the wilderness and you're walking on a path, and it can be surrounded by poison ivy and thorns and all that kind of stuff? As long as you stay on the path, you're okay. And how many of you with little kids, you know, they dart off the path, and that's where bad stuff is. Thorns and thistles. They get dirty. They can get lost. The Bible's full of talk about a path. So I want to begin to let that settle today. God set a good path. Humanity veered away. Sometimes you hear people say, "I found the Lord." God wasn't lost. He knows where he is. He's going the right way. He finds you. You're lost. So there. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, "Your iniquities," that's another name for sin, "have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So get this. God looks at humanity on a path, veering away, and sin and our iniquities coming down between us and separating us from God. God's holy. He can't dwell in darkness and in sin. He can't look upon it. He has to look away. And the Bible says that he can't dwell among us when we're in sin. There's a separation. That's a major problem. There's no human calculus. There's no higher science. There's no philosophy that can take care of that. It's an eternal situation. It's something beyond the human scope to take care of. It's not just our actions that separate us from God. It's our very inner nature. That's really important. I can look on the outward and see if somebody's behaving and obeying the law. I can see that with my eyes. I can't see inside them, but God does. He can see inside. He knows every thought of the heart. And the Bible says Paul, when he's speaking in Romans chapter 7, verse 8, says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature." God's holy because of who he is, not what he does. He is holy. We're sinners, not because we sin, but because we're sinners. It's in our nature. Eternity stamped in our heart, and the other thing is, everybody on the walks of face of the earth is a sinner. There's separation from the path of God. So let's talk about our current state. There's a vast gap between God's holy character and mankind's imperfections and rebellious character. It has broken and destroyed the original intent of God to live and dwell among humanity. God's path, our path. Sin between it. Gap. Solid, unmovable gap. You can't get back to God. Your sins have separated you. He's gone this way and people veer that way. And there's consequences from that. Things happen when a young child runs away from their parents. Can you imagine the terror and the fear that would grip you as a parent if you were at an amusement park and you were buying your child something to eat and you turned and he wasn't there and there were thousands of people? Can you imagine for a second? Your adrenaline would completely focus on that. Nothing else would become important. That's how God feels about us. Creation is great. The eclipse was great. There's always things going on. There's angels praising God. But his every thought right now is that his children have gone astray. That's where his heart is right now. That's the focus of God, even as he's being praised. He has children that have gone astray. I remember a quick story. I remember being down at the beach about 20 years ago, and one of my sons was out in the water, and he had just begun to be able to swim on his own, and he wanted to go out there on his own. For the first few years, I mean, I wouldn't be more than 6 inches away from him. I was just hovering like a stork. And he was out there, and he said, "Go sit in the chair. I can do this." So I went and I sat in my beach chair, and have you ever been on the beach when the sun begins to come right overhead and it's a beautiful summer day and it's kind of hazy and you can see the people within 5 feet of you or so, but if you look off to the beach, people in the water, they're just kind of like silhouettes. You can't really see their faces. You know, there's just a mass of humanity. And I remember there were about 100 people in the section where my son was swimming. And I remember being able to pick him out by the way he jumped and just his actions, because I knew he was mine. That's the way God looks at us. We're lost. We go our separate way, but we're not lost from God's sight. God knows each and every person and why they veered away. He knows how to bring them back. Let's talk a little bit about the consequences of man's separation from God. There's temporary earthly consequences. There's big consequences. There's war. There's racial strife, there's violence, there's loneliness. When I was living apart from a relationship with God, on the outside, I had a reputation for being Mike. He's always doing great. "Hey, Mike, how are you doing?" "Hey, man, doing great. Doing great." Even in school, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Man, doing great." "Yeah, Mike's doing great. Mike's optimistic. Mike smiles. He's always upbeat." And I'd lay in bed at night. I was the loneliest person in the world because I would question why people liked me, you know? Why would they like me or not like me? You know, you're never secure in that. And loneliness is natural. If you veer away from the person that you're supposed to be under their care, that's loneliness. The Bible talks about God being a shepherd and us being the flock under his care. Shepherds, their whole focus is the care of their sheep. And the Bible says if one of them wanders away, God will go after the one that wanders away and leave the 99 that are okay. God's merciful, compassionate. He's always looking for people that have wandered away from him. Sadness without consolation. I went through a horrible time 2 years ago. Many of you remember that. It lasted about 2 years. I was disabled. I couldn't go to work. I was basically bedridden for almost 5 months. I had pain that I wore a fentanyl patch. I took Percocet. I mean, they had me on that, and it barely touched it. It just enabled me just to go from morning till night. And I would go in the basement, and I would cry into a towel in the corner of the basement so my family wouldn't see me. I had consolation, though. I had consolation. It was really strange. It was so sad. It was such a horrible time. I never felt closer to God. Never felt closer. Wouldn't want to go through it again, but never felt closer. And so, if you have sadness in your life, God wants to bring consolation. He's a good God. I think that's what drew me to Him 35 years ago. I heard all the various other things that had to do with the Bible, and everybody comes for different reasons. But for me, I think I would have to say it was probably loneliness. And God met that loneliness. I got to tell you, in 35 years, He's been faithful. It's such a great thing. He understands the human heart, and in a way that no other human can. He's a shepherd. He's good. He wants to help sad people. The Bible says that He restores the brokenhearted and places them in families. Not necessarily maybe a human family, but it could be God's family. The Bible says, you know, when you follow God, He'll add hundreds of friends to you. I have hundreds of friends that I really know love me, and that really helped me to get through that hard time. God is so good. Sickness and disease. I'm going to be real careful. People that get sick and have disease, it's not because of what necessarily they did. It's because we all screwed up, and humanity has veered away from God. It's not God's fault. It entered the world because we gave it an opening. Bondage to demonic power. Remember I said I wasn't going to hold back. I wrestled with this a little bit. It's very kind of hyper-spiritual stuff. The other stuff is safe to talk about. But this is real. And the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And there's a truth. There's a devil and there's demonic power. Okay? And apart from God's protection, you're subject to it. Okay? That's the truth. It is what it is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Does anybody want to turn on the news and then try to debate me that it's not? I won't even talk. I'll just say, look, it's just evident. It's everywhere. And this world is under the control of the evil one. But notice I didn't say God's under the control. The world is under the control. God's fine. He's unscathed. He's going in the right direction. Humanity's going in the wrong direction. I met with about 6 people yesterday going over messages and things like that. And at the end, I said, can you guys just stop? And Grubby was one of them, and they're very longtime members of the church who you all know. And I said, I told them what I wanted to share, what I felt like God wanted me to share. I said, do I have your okay to do this? Because you rarely hear this. You hear things kind of softened a little bit, but this is what God gave me to bring. There is an eternal and permanent consequence. Hell. I said it there. Anyone whose name was not written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. I looked at about 10 different versions of that, and they all said the same thing, lake of fire. They didn't change symbolically. They didn't come at it from kind of a philosophical thing that, separation. I'm just going to let this one out. I've always been bothered for 35 years when separation from God is described as just being separate from God. Kind of sounds clean. Doesn't sound very permanent. Almost, if you're somebody who's not walking with God, it's like, yeah, okay, all right, so whatever. There's a consequence. It's a physical, real place. Anyone whose name is not written in the book of life is going to go there. Okay? Can you imagine 10 seconds after you die, standing in front of God, and the sheer terror and the indescribable feeling that would come over you when the book of life is open? And that's not a fairy tale. It's not like symbolic. Jesus has what's called the book of life. Can you imagine them saying, you're not in here? Okay, you may have fooled people on the street corner. You may have fooled your friends. But that day is going to be a lot different. I was kind of surprised that God wanted me to share that, but he's the boss. And he said, Mike, you just share it. You're not sharing it. So I'm just sharing what he said. Jesus, talking to John on the island of Patmos, said, write these words down. I'm not going to be disobedient to the commanding officer. He said it. But it's sandwiched in this. God's heart is that no one should go there. If you hear people say, how could a good and a loving God send people to hell? My answer is, you're right, he couldn't, and he doesn't. God doesn't do it. God has no intention. Do you remember at the beginning of the message, I said the intent of God's heart is a relationship. He loves us more than can be expressed. Hell was created for the devil and his angels who rebelled against God. They do deserve it. Their fate is sealed. God does not desire anyone to go to hell. So because of that, I have no fear of walking to my car and having somebody after the message say, that was kind of harsh, Mike. I'll just say, no, it wasn't. It's what Jesus said. And God doesn't want anybody to go there. So there. But that's the truth. And the truth will set you free. God is not willing that anyone should perish. He's not willing. He doesn't want that. What I talked about before, he doesn't want that for you. He's a good God. He's a loving God. What's the way back from this path? What's the way back from the path that humanity has gone on? How do you get back? How do you get back to God, back on the right path? How do you get reconnected? How do you come under God's protection? How do you come out from being under the control of the evil one and under God's protection? The Bible talks about someone that's able to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It also says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Our iniquities and sins have separated us from our God. The Bible says there's only one way to deal with that. We need to be forgiven, and the only way to be forgiven is through the shedding of his blood. And as I begin to go over these next two or three slides, I'm believing with all my heart for spontaneous healings to occur. I don't know if you're going to feel it like right now, but I believe with all my heart that the Lord has said over the next few days and weeks, there's people that already know this truth, that if you honor it and listen to it as if it's the first time you heard it, God's going to confirm this with signs and wonders. I believe it. I've seen it. Sometimes he uses doctors. He used a lot of doctors with me. So he may do it by bringing you to the right doctor. He may do it spontaneously and directly. But I believe that there's power today. Only one way back, and there's without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Whose blood? Does that mean that we have to shed our blood to show God our intention? We want so bad to get back to him that we're willing to maybe cut ourselves and shed our blood? Whose blood is that? God has a plan of rescue. Christ, the cross, and nothing else. Can I share something with you too? As I was getting ready, I asked God, I said, God, please give me some real good stories and funny anecdotes to kind of keep it moving and friendly and laughing and all that. And he's given me a couple so far, so I'm happy about that. But the stuff I'm about to go over, I mean, it's a sober thing. So I'm just going to go over it. You may not hear any funny asides or anything. I wanted them, but God didn't give me any more, so. God's plan of rescue is the Christ, his cross, and nothing else. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. Those are the things that separate us from God's path. Those are iniquities. Those are sin. You know it because the Holy Spirit right now is showing you in your heart that this is true. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's why I have confidence and absolute faith that even as I'm speaking, there's some people being spontaneously healed. I believe it. I just felt like that was a word from the Lord. The cross, the blood. Can't talk about that too much. That's everything. God was pleased to have all his fullness. Talking about Christ, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, his son, Jesus Christ. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. His blood shed on the cross. There's only one way back. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And by his wounds, we're healed. And it's his blood shed on the cross. His blood, Jesus Christ. The devil cowers from that. The blood of Christ, the blood of Christ is the way back. It's the way when you're walking on the wrong path, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're feeling drawn, you're lonely, you're broken, and for whatever reason, God is tugging on your heart and saying, my child, come on back. Come on back under the right path. Come back to where my protection is. Come back to where my love is. It's a lonely world out there on your own. Here's the way back. It's through the blood of my son, Jesus Christ, that was shed. He is the way and the truth and the life. There's no other name given under heaven by which men can be saved. I don't have that written down. That's just stamped here and here. I say that to myself throughout the day. That's in my DNA. Okay, good. Funny aside, the thing that separates Christ, whose blood was shed, so that we can be forgiven and come back on the path to God, the thing that makes him different from every other philosophy, every religion, every message, every thought, every solution, the thing that makes him different is that when he died and shed his blood, that was not the end of it. The Bible says he rose from the dead. Christ is, he was resurrected. The Bible says, this is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians. And notice he uses the word according to the scriptures a couple times. That's because everything's based on God's word, which is alive and active. He says, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Right there. He rose again according to the scriptures. I like saying that a lot, like when I'm driving or when I'm going about my travels. That gives the devil a headache. That makes him run. It puts us on the offense. Christ rose. There is a devil who's very real, and we learned before that this world is under the control of the evil one. But it's under the control of the evil one, but not for those who have come back to God's path. If you come back under God's path, if you go through the gap that's very real and that all humanity is subject to, and if you come back to the right path through the blood of Christ, you are no longer under the control of the evil one. You're under the control of the great shepherd. Psalm 91 talks about being under the shadow of his wings. You're under his protection. That's the gospel. That's it. I've seen that shared in 1 minute and seen grown men fall on their knees on the sidewalk and cry 1 minute after I shared that with them, who I never met before. That's not me. That's God. That's the gospel. The gospel is real. You can't fight it. If the Holy Spirit is kind of going like this, don't look at me. It's not my fault. That's God. The wind blows wherever it pleases. But it also blows away. So if the wind's blowing, and in your heart, you're hearing that voice say, come back. The Bible says if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, because you don't know if that's going to come back. You need to respond. And how do we respond? Responding to God's rescue plan. The Bible says if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That stands. That stands for all time. There's no other name given under heaven. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It is impossible for me, if you are hearing me for the first time, there's no way that I can get into your soul and heart and cause you to feel a drawing to God. I'm just a person. I got up and put my pants on one leg at a time. I have to eat. I go to work. I'm a human. So if you're feeling it, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. And he's calling you. And you need to respond. If he's calling you, you need to respond. So I want to give us a chance right now to respond. But for right now, what I'd like everybody to do is bow their heads. Everybody. Bow their heads and close their eyes. Don't bow your head and kind of open one and look down the row. Close your eyes. Don't look at me to see if I'm still here. I'm here. Bow your head and close your eyes. This is between you and God. What I'd like to do right now is just ask. And nobody's looking at you. Nobody. I'd like you to just indicate by just lifting up your hand if something's happened to you today. If you're feeling something. If there's something in you and God's saying, I need to respond to this. I just want you to just kind of lift your hand up a little bit. Just want to give you a chance to respond to the gospel. To pass from death to life, to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So what I'd like to do right now is read a prayer. And I'd like you to follow along with me, even if you're a believer. And if you're here and you want to come in and be set back on the right path with Christ, I'd like you to just say this as I pray it. You can say it quietly or you could follow along. I'm going to say a sentence, stop, and then I'd just like everybody to follow. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Please forgive me now. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to keep your eyes closed and your head bowed still just for a second. We have a packet that we'd like to give to anybody that will really help you over the next few days. Is there anybody here that prayed that prayer for the first time? It's the first time they ever prayed that prayer. What I want to say is this. You can open your eyes now and look up. I remember being in a meeting one time, and I was the person listening. And I remember not responding, but afterwards, a few minutes later, thinking, oh, rats, why was I worried about the person around me? That's for me. I really want to respond. If that's you, I'll be here after the meeting. Eric will be here. Come up and see one of us. We have a packet to give you. We'd be more than happy to pray with you. Or in the coming week or weeks as you come to church, you can still come up to any one of us and say, that thing you talked about, God made it real to me. We'd like to close now and we'd like to give God the glory.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.